A summer weekend evening in Balboa. The streets are crowded with skaters, tourists, and beach residents. A block away in the fun zone, the pinball machines fill the warm night air with bells and buzzers, and from the Ferris wheel, the muffled sounds of screaming. Across from the Orange Julius stand, a line is beginning to form in front of the Balboa Cinema, a small, quaint theater that began as a vaudeville house in the 30s. The Balboa Cinema plays films, but after spending several hours here recently, I've come to the conclusion that it's gone back to vaudeville. It's 11 o'clock at night. Rocky Horror started in London as a stage show, then moved to the Roxy in Hollywood, where it became the darling of the glitter people of the early 70s. Then something happened. The glitter crowd and the gays became a minority in those Roxy audiences, replaced by perfectly straight, mostly young suburban types. Finally, Rocky opened as a film, and promptly bombed in its initial run. It might have died there. But in dozens of small movie houses across the country, just like the Balboa Cinema here, it resurfaced and began playing midnight shows. Estimates suggest upwards of some 300 theaters playing it right now. Some have played it continuously since 1971. And this Southern California audience waiting in line for tickets is straight, conservative, mostly dates, ranging in age from 14 to 60, hardly what you'd call freaks. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a Greek transvestite. A film about a bisexual transvestite called Frankenfurter, a glitter queen in high heels from another planet who seduces two all-American kids. Kids who look a lot like the ones standing in line for tickets. But it's not the film or even its talented star, Tim Curry, that amazes. It's the audience. 70 to 80% of them have seen the film before. Some, many times.
What is it about the film that makes you want to come back 22 times?
It's the audience. The participation that you get into with the audience.
The first time.
What have you heard about it?
That I'm going to be popcorn to death.
Rocky Horror, like Harold and Maude and The King of Hearts, is a cult film. But it's a cult like no other. The audience knows the story, the characters, the songs. Some can recite every line of dialogue in the 90-minute film. And unlike regular film audiences, they don't sit passively in the dark. They participate, act out the story, scream expletives at the screen, and throw objects which are part of the plot. Handfuls of rice at Brad and Janet's wedding, for example. It's audience participation to a level which is almost surrealistic. There's a surprising wittiness, a spirit of fun at the proceedings. When a character in the film proposes a toast, for example, people in the theater throw actual pieces of toast at the screen. Even the songs stretch lyrical credibility.
I thought there's no use getting into heavy petting. It only leads to trouble and seat wetting.
I love that line. Probably their favorite spot in the film, one they wait for with anticipation, is the Time Warp. At this point, a good half of the audience gets to its feet and rushes to the front of the theater where they dance the Time Warp, staring transfixed at the screen characters above them. In this scene, as Brad and Janet approach Frankenfurter's castle, the audience lights matches or lighters each time the word light is sung. The ushers pace the aisles, waving flashlights at the patrons, trying to stop this obvious violation of fire laws. Audience participation has reached such heights that the management of the theater now comes close to what some constitutionalists might consider a violation of civil rights.
He said, "May I see your purse? I have no purse. Nobody's got it. Even running their hands up down my leg."
This patron complained about the search to the manager in the lobby. But the search has become part of the event, just like the rice and the toast and the Time Warp. Assistant Manager Mike Walsh.
Whatever they are, I have to deal with what they are and somehow either relax them or just have a good time with it. Because I can tell the people who don't. I always have an out. If someone doesn't want to be searched by me, I can always have the girl search them. But I basically, one of the things I'll try to do is just try to keep talking to them so that they don't notice that I'm searching them.
John, you're walking down the aisle of the theater. What are you going to do?
I'm going to give the speech for all the people. Welcome to the Balboa Cinema and Rocky. We have a few rules here. If you got any rice in or any toast or anything to throw.
That's right, it's free.
That's right, you got it. There is no smoking in the theater. The place can really go on fire real fast.
What a shame.
It's 12:30 a.m. now, almost half an hour late. After waiting in line since 11, buying tickets and refreshments, and after being searched, the audience is ready for the Rocky ritual to begin.
Michael Rennie was ill the day the earth stood still, but he told us where we sat. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught.
Yeah, sometimes I'm nervous. Sometimes I'm really excited. But it's always something.
What kind of a crowd would you describe this one tonight as?
This is a nice crowd, but really energetic.
On the day I went away.
Finally, you have to ask, what is it about the Rocky Horror Picture Show that brings them back again and again? It produces an almost religious worship of a character named Frankenfurter who dresses in black net stockings and garter belts and wears glitter-studded pumps with 8-inch heels. We spent the evening collecting these disparate observations.
I was astounded. Amazed is probably a better word. I was interested, too. I was sort of curious to see what on earth would come next.
I mean, it just, lifts you up, you know?
Well, we're not so much here to convince them not to see the movie. We're here so that when they do see it, they can see the blasphemous things that are in it that really come against the person of Jesus Christ.
Assistant Manager Mike Walsh, he's the one who does the frisking, thinks Rocky's appeal is obvious.
I think it relates to a fantasy. There are a lot of people out in the audience who have that fantasy of making that step towards a total decadence and a total sexuality and a total physicalness and stuff like which Frankenfurter makes. And it's an easy step to just come and see the movie and watch it.
In the projection booth, Brian Gaughan, who's been showing the film two nights a week for over a year, doesn't agree.
No, I don't have any psychological insight because I don't think anybody should. Because all it is a fun movie where people can yell and scream at the movie itself.
If you'd like to try to find your own explanation, the Rocky Horror Picture Show continues. Some people say forever. Fridays and Saturdays at midnight at the Balboa Cinema, on the peninsula.
No, never saw it before, and I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Are you going to see it again?
if I had another group of fun people like I just had tonight who wanted to see it, sure, I'd see it again. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's just a crazy enough, if you're in a crazy enough mood, just go out and see it again.
But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the center.
For National Public Radio, I'm Warren Deacon in Balboa, California.